Good morning, church. Again, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter this morning. A reminder that the series of messages that we have been in, by the way, Mike and praise team, thank y'all. Fabulous, fabulous job. Listen, if you can get these people to clap, you have accomplished something, I got to tell you. So you got them without me telling them to clap. So fantastic. As a reminder, we're working through in this series of messages, we're really following and tracking with Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline. If you're familiar with that book, you are familiar with the course that we've been following, talking about and not only talking about, not only preaching about, but putting into practice these spiritual disciplines. Now, I want to go back again, remind you of what I've shared with you, that the goal of this, and my goal, my personal goal in life, which is aligns with what our goal as believers and followers of Christ should be, is this. My goal is to be moment by moment led by the Spirit of God. I want to be tuned in to that low whisper that is so often missed in the hustle and bustle of life, and then I want to respond to the Spirit's leading in obedience and faith. And really what that describes here is the transformation from what I was to what I'm going to be someday. Now there are two key aspects to reaching this goal. Number one is, and frankly, this is true no matter what, we need in our lives personal holiness. I had a dream years ago. I woke up in the middle of the night and there were two words that stood out, and those two words were personal holiness. God has called us not just to repent, but to be repentant, to lead lives of holiness. He is holy and He has called us to be holy, even as the Scripture says. And to be transformed, we have to put ourselves before God, and that's what the spiritual disciplines are about. Now, the title of the sermon series is cross-training. Now, that's a word that we use to describe a physical fitness regime that people go through these days. They go through cross training. They go to these different stations and they do different things. And the goal is to get physically fit. Well, we want to get spiritually fit. And that's why we've named this sermon series Cross Training. But the important thing to remember here is spiritual disciplines will do you of no good if you simply hear sermons about them. That's not going to do you any good. That's not going to change you. It's not going to transform you, okay? You don't get to check the box that you heard a sermon on fasting without fasting. It doesn't do you any good. And so we must put these into practice. Not only do we learn about them, but we must put them into practice. The goal of every disciple of Jesus is this, and it's given to us in the Great Commission. It is to observe all things that He has commanded us. That's what we're to do. We're not to live our life on our terms. As followers of Jesus, we're to live life on His terms. And the disciplines help us, as Richard Foster says, help us by placing ourselves before God so that He can transform us. And we talked already about the inward disciplines, right? The inward disciplines, meditation, prayer, fasting and studying. I've told you that the purpose of the inward disciplines are basically to break ourselves down to our base self. You know, life is tough. Life is confusing. We go through different chapters in life and we take on baggage, don't we, as we go through life. You know, some of you are pulling some small trailers, right? And then some of you've got some really big trailers and some of you've got semi-trucks full of baggage that you're carrying with you. And that's life, right? Well, what we want to do is we want to get down, we want to break that down and get back to our base self so that God can begin to shape and to mold us into the person He wants us to be, which is to transform us into the image of His Son. And as we practice the inward disciplines, we begin to see that the outward disciplines begin to manifest themselves in our lives. Now, we've already talked about simplicity, and last week we talked about solitude, and then this week we want to talk about submission. Now, I know what some of you men are thinking. I was wondering when he was going to get around to that. I've been waiting for that sermon on submission. Well, you just hold on just a minute. Before we get to what is meant by biblical submission and to whom it applies, We need to first understand this, that the disciplines always have a corresponding freedom with them. Think about that. Disciplines always have a corresponding freedom with them, and that's nowhere more evident than today's topic. Now, what is submission? Or better yet, what is biblical submission? Well, here's what it's not. Biblical submission is not oppression. Biblical submission is not coercion. Biblical submission is not forcing your will onto someone else. Okay, I know you've heard this before, right? In Ephesians chapter 5, right? What does Ephesians chapter 5 say, men? Wives do what? Submit to your husbands. And when you talk to most people about Ephesians chapter 5 and about that word submit, that's the one that people draw out. They forget that just above that, what does it say? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. They also forget the part that comes after it, which says, men, live for your wife as Christ did for the church. And what did Christ do for the church? He died for the church. Context matters, doesn't it, church? Absolutely it does. Well, what is biblical submission? What does that word, upostaso, in the Greek, what does that word actually mean? Well, we need to get the understanding of that to continue on. It means this, to be or become inclined or willing to submit to orders or wishes of others or showing such inclination. In other words, it means to subject oneself, to place oneself in submission. Here's what it really means. Biblical submission is this. It is willingly and voluntarily placing others before self. In other words, you don't force someone to submit. You willingly submit. And by the way, this happens husbands to wives, wives to husbands, children to parents, parents to children, and on down the line. It applies to everybody. But here's what it does for us. And I told you that when I first read this book years ago, the discipline of simplicity stuck out to me. But in going back through it this time, submission has stuck out to me. And here's why. Here's the corresponding freedom. It frees us from having to get our own way all of the time. In other words, men, give up the remote control. I want you to think about something. All strife and all conflict in life relates to what? Unmet expectations. All strife and all conflict in life relates to unmet expectations. Think about it. Nations are at war. Why? Because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. Communities fight amongst themselves because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. Families fight. Marriages fight. All interpersonal relationships, the strife and the conflict relates to unmet expectations. Have you ever noticed that a lot of cities, they have a First Baptist Church and a Second Baptist Church? Guess what? Some cities even have a Third Baptist Church. I looked this up yesterday. St. Louis, Missouri, Nashville, Tennessee, and this will surprise no one, Washington, D.C., has a Third Baptist Church. Conflict. Strife is caused by unmet expectations. The freedom of submission says, I don't have to get my way all the time. And there's beauty and there's freedom in that. Now, does this mean that we should give in on all issues? Well, the answer is no. There are limits to this. The Bible teaches us to be subject to authorities until those authorities come into conflict with the clear and revealed will of God as given to us in the Scriptures. Remember, Peter and John went before the council and the council told them, okay, we're going to let you go, but don't you talk about this Jesus anymore. And what did they say to them? Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. But the truth of the matter is that most issues we face on a daily basis are not really issues, and they certainly aren't hills upon which to die. But see, submission is not just an outward thing. Submission begins with an inner attitude. Think about what Peter told the masters. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. He didn't have to tell them this in order to make the slaves do what the masters told them to do. And we have to remember, slavery in that time is not the slavery that we know of in modern times. But he didn't have to tell them that. They were required to do that. What he was really telling them is, it's not about your outward submission, because you can be an outwardly submitted to someone and have inner rebellion. What he's really talking about is the heart matter. Biblical submission is this. It deals with the heart. It's about an inward spirit of submission that manifests itself in an outward expression. In other words, it does this. It frees us. Listen, it frees us to value other people. Why? Because we don't have to get our way all of the time. And by the way, the Bible says a lot about this. Philippians 2 and verse 3 talks about the spirit of this. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's an easy verse to quote, a hard one to live by. But it has everything to do with the heart. It's putting others before self. It's doing what Romans 12 and verse 16 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what love does. And we don't discriminate as to who we love. The Bible says we are to love everyone. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We're to love everybody, not to love people who just love us, not to love people who think the way we do, not to love the people who do what we want them to do. We are to love everybody no matter who they are. But we must take on this spirit, the spirit of Jesus. Jesus gives us the standard in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. He gives us the benchmark. You would call it the touchstone. We have Jesus who was the innocent, who died for the guilty, who took up his cross. And he says this to us in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me. Now, if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, if you've got your Bibles and if you've got them on your phone, highlighted on your phone, these words. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, the people will tell you, those who argue that if you want to be enlightened, you have to have self-fulfillment. If you want to be enlightened, you have to have self-actualization. Jesus says, if you want to be enlightened, you need to have self-denial. You need to deny yourself. Now, we need to be clear about something here, though. We need to be clear about what self-denial is and what it's not. Self-denial is not self-hate. That's not what he's saying. In fact, God says to love ourselves. We're created in the image of God. Matthew 22 and verse 39, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as who? As yourself. You shouldn't hate yourself. That's not what self-denial is. Self-denial is not self-pity. Self-denial is you don't deny self and then turn around and bemoan it. Self-denial is not a loss of personality. Many people think that to deny self means that I can't be the person that God made me to be. It's not to do any of those things. Through self-denial, we ultimately find self-fulfillment. These are the words of Jesus. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now, we have an enduring symbol for what it means to deny oneself. Richard Foster said this, the foremost symbol of this radical servanthood is the cross. Think about it. The cross. Jesus said this, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The nail-scarred hands and feet of Jesus are the cross marks. And as followers of Jesus, we bear the mark of the cross. No, we don't have nail-scarred hands, and no, we don't have nail-scarred feet. Our cross mark is visible through our self-denial, not having to have our own way, and it is through our love for others. Listen, if you want to boil down the Christian life, you know, I'm one of those people, you've got to give it to me simple. The CFO that I work for in my secular job, now when I get in there and I try to start explaining tax stuff, I like to use big tax words because it impresses people, right? And he'll always tell me before I start talking, he says, Billy, you got to dumb it down because you're not talking to tax people. Well, when I start to think about things like this, if I were to boil the Christian life down to two fundamentals, here's what they would be. Number one is deny self. This is my biggest problem in life is I want things my way, and guess how often I want it my way? All of the time. I want to watch what I want to watch. No, I don't care that Texas Tech is up by 30 points. I still want to watch to the end of the game. She's standing at the door, by the way. The biggest problem I have is me wanting to get my way all of the time. So the first thing is deny yourself. The second thing is love people. We have so much hate in the world. We have so much strife in the world. We have so much conflict in the world. Why? Because people want to get their own way. This is what's going on in Washington, D.C. This is what's going on even in our communities. There's now this big move to take over communities and city councils and so forth. Why? Because everybody wants to get their own way and everybody ends up in strife and hating one another. Our job as followers of Jesus is to deny ourselves and to love people. And if we would do that, it would cure a world of hurts. I think I've heard Brother Humphrey say many, many times over the 10 years that I've been here, the biggest problem we have is ourselves. We need to get old self, as he'll often say, get old self out of the way. Deny ourselves and love others. Bear the marks of the cross. That's what our cross mark is. So what do we need to submit to? What do we need to first get ourselves out of the way of? Well, let me give you a list of seven things to submit to. Number one is submit to God. You may say, well, I've already done that. You sure? There's a lot of stuff in this Bible. Are you sure you got it all covered at this point? Submit to God. Submit to His Word. It's easy for us to read the Word just like we do any other publication, just like we do the newspaper, and miss the bigger point. When you come across something and you think to yourselves, you know, I'm not quite doing that, there's your clue. Submit to the Word of God. Thirdly, submit to your family. Make it about them. Wives to husbands, husbands to wives, employees to employers, to your children. You know, sometimes you can let your children have their way. Show them what submission looks like. Who else do you submit to? Submit to your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Well, the Good Samaritan says everyone is your neighbor. Submit to your neighbor. Do things for them. Serve them. Love them. Deny yourself. Submit to each other. This is the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the church. This building is not the church. You're the church. Submit to one another. It's amazing. You know, we talk about First, Second, and Third Baptist Church. You'd be amazed at what churches will split over. Guess what the number one thing they split over is? Music. And then they'll fight about things like the color of carpet and walls. And whether or not we're going to buy this thing or whether or not we're going to buy this thing. And that's how you end up with First, Second, and Third Baptist. And then they quit naming them and they just go call it something else. Submit to one another. Don't always have to get your way. Submit to the oppressed and the needy. Go out and serve people who can't do for themselves. Give up some of your time. Give up some of the things that you do simply for entertainment and enjoyment and do something for someone who cannot do for themselves. And then ultimately, submit to the world. You know, the world's getting a little tired, I think, of all the people who strive to be in these positions of power and leadership. I'm never more humbled than when somebody serves me. I've never been humbled by somebody who has authority over me, but by the people who have served and given themselves. We went away this past weekend just for a night, and we had a couple of dining experiences, and we had some really great waitresses. I'm always humbled when I have a good waitress, because they come out and they serve you and they bend over backwards. Now, I know they're getting paid to do it, but they get paid more when they do it well, don't they? There's this thing called a tip that's tied to it. But go out and serve others. I can't tell you, as I've read and studied this week, I've just been so convicted of so much of me having to get my own way. I tell you, the biggest problem I have, and y'all know this, and I joke about it, but it's really no joke. It's out on the road. I mean, I get so frustrated by the way people drive, and you know, sometimes it might be one of y'all. In fact, I'm scared one of these days I'm going to pull up next to you yelling at you, and it is going to be one of y'all. Why can't I just submit to them? Why can't I just say, you know what? Yes, I realize you couldn't get between these two cars with a can opener, but you managed to do it anyway. I can flash my lights and honk at you and try to pull up next to you and kindly advise you how you should drive. Or maybe I should just submit and let it go and move on. Frankly, by the way, I have never offered advice while driving and had anyone take it. No matter where I told them to go. That was a joke, mostly. Deny yourself and love others. That's what biblical submission is. It is willingly and voluntarily putting others before self. Let's bow our hearts in prayer together. And I want to remind you this morning that coming to Jesus as Savior is an act of submission. Not only is it an act of submission, it's an act of surrender. It's your way of saying, you know, God, I can't fix the problem that I've gotten. My problem is sin. I realize now that barrier that exists between us, I can't go over it, I can't go under it, I can't go around it, and I sure as heck can't go through it. But by the shed blood of Jesus, I'm set free from the penalty for my sins. Would you come to Jesus today? Would you submit to Him today? The Bible says that He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says that there's no other name under heaven by which one must be saved. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know, there are two kinds of people in that moment. There's those who will bow their knee and confess Jesus out of reverence for Him, grateful that they have His salvation. But there will be some who will bow their knee and confess Jesus with fear for the eternity that awaits them. You'll be one or the other. Do you know Jesus this morning? Will you come to Him? Will you confess Him as Savior? So what do I do? Cry out to Him in the quietness of your heart. God loves you with a love that you can't even wrap your mind around. But He loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to bear our sins, to die on the cross for our sins and rise again so that we could have eternal life. Come to Jesus this morning. Submit to Him. Surrender. Maybe you already belong to Jesus, but you need a church. You need a church home. Come here if He's leading you here. Plug in and connect. Come alongside and serve. Maybe you're a believer. Maybe you've even been around for a while, but you never followed Jesus in believer's baptism, and you want to do that. Come forward this morning. We'll get your baptism scheduled. Follow Jesus in believer's baptism. Father, by the work of your Spirit and your Spirit alone, I pray, God, that you would move in these moments. Draw men, women, boys, and girls to yourself this day, for we pray in Jesus' name.